And we're going to come to the word of our mighty God. And for that, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles. Amen. And when you get to 2 Chronicles, I ask you to turn to chapter 15. Amen. What a mighty God. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And we will go to the end of that chapter. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to the end of that chapter, to verse number 19. So we'll look at one verse to start. And believe that God is going to take us and speak to us as he wills. But 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 19, one verse. King James Version says this: "And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa." There was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we bless you, O God. Glory to God. With our hands lifted up and our mouths filled with praise, we will bless thee, O Lord. Glory. And Father, we do bless you. Praise you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now that we've come to the point of the service where you speak from heaven, where you speak from your word. Father, we're praying right now that you will open our eyes, cause us to see. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. You said, oh God, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, we're praying now that you will speak, that you will show us how we are to live right now at this hour. And Father, we thank you, oh God, for the deposits you're going to make in us and for the transformation that shall result. Have your way today in the place. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Give them revelation, insight, and understanding. Father God, bless me, O God, that I humble myself before you to do your will. Father, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we just read 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 19. There was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Praise God. Our title today is The Tipping Point. The Tipping Point. Praise God, the tipping point. As you read this scripture, as God gives us this place to start, we understand that something happened and that something is going to happen. Right? Verse 19 lets us know. There was no war. There was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So we know that before that, there was peace. And after that, war came. And God is saying unto us that Asa came to a point called a tipping point. And a tipping point, we all get there. And a tipping point is that point at which several small things, several small incidents, several small events become significant enough, right, that it's going to cause a larger change in your life. A tipping point, right? It's a place where, you know, over a course of time, things, little things happen here, little thing happen there, little thing here, there, but it accumulates over time, and you finally arrive at a place in your life where you have to make a decision. And how you decide the thing is going to determine something larger in your life. In other words, those small things that added up over time now lead to something bigger in your life. It's called a tipping point. It's a tipping point. And if you think about it, there are, we can break it down into some small stuff, right? Some small things, you know, little decisions, little reactions, things we've said, things we did, things we might not have done, decisions we've made, right? And they're just little, maybe imperceptible, but over time they add up. And you get to a point where now they've come to this place where they're going to have some significance in your life, and you have to make a decision which way you're going to go. And the thing about the decision that, because that's the second part. The first part is the small things adding up. The second part is the decision. And the third part is, after that decision, it's going to come some significant change. In other words, when you get to a tipping point and you make your decision, things don't stay the same. They're going to change for the better or for the worse. And those little things add up to something significant. And so the change that comes into your life is not going to be some small little thing. It's going to be a significant change. And it's going to be either for the good or for the bad, for the better or for the worse. Asa, who was the king of Judah, had arrived at a tipping point. And I think, though, to fully appreciate this, we just go back a little bit to 2 Chronicles 14, because that's where we meet Asa. And King Asa was the son of Abijah. And King Abijah died, and Asa took over, as you see in verse number 1. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 1, it says that Asa became the king, and in his days the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa's kingdom got off to a good start. His reign got off to a good start. It was 10 years of peace. And verse 2 says, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And I just want to say to you that even though that part comes second, I believe it's because he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord that there was peace during those first 10 years. So even though the peace is told to us first and his obedience in doing what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord comes second, I want you to know that him doing what was good and right in the sight of the Lord, I believe, resulted in him having peace in the first 10 years of his reign. But Asa was a good king. Asa, he removed some of the pagan altars and the shrines that were built up in the nation of Judah. He smashed down the pagan pillars and he cut down the Asherah poles and he removed incense altars. He took all these signs of pagan worship and idolatry that the people had over the course of time allowed to enter into their lives, and he got rid of all of it. He got rid of most of it. He didn't get rid of all of it, but he got rid of most of it. He started to reform the land. And he commanded the people as king. He said to the people that you need, glory to God, that you need to seek and obey God. So this is how his kingdom started, right? He's getting rid of the pagan shrines. He's getting rid of the pagan idols and all the things that signify pagan worship. And he told the people, you need to obey, seek after, and follow after the Lord God. And it says in verse number 6 that the Lord gave him rest, that there was no war in those years, because the Lord gave him rest. But it also says, if you keep reading, then that he started to build fenced cities, it says in verse 6. And in verse 7 it says he built these cities, and he had walls and towers and gates and bars. He started to build up to protect the city. And that's interesting, because he's in a time of peace, and yet he's trying to protect the city. Protect the city from what? But in his actions is something that I think we should take as very important. Something we should put into our own lives. When God blesses you and he's blessing you and things are going well in your life, enjoy the blessings. By all means, enjoy the blessings. Give God the praise for them. Rejoice in them. Be happy. Share them with other people. But also, too, that's a good time to prepare for the attacks to come. Because there will be attacks. And so even though the land was peaceful, Asa had enough wisdom to understand, I'm not going to wait until someone attacks me to start building up defenses. That's good teaching for us, that we need to build up our defenses before the attacks of the enemy come. In other words, we need to be praying, lead me not into temptation, before temptation comes. That Christian man who's going on a business trip next week, he needs to be praying, lead me not into temptation now, before he sits down at the restaurant minding his business and in comes Jezebel.
Yeah.
He need to pray now. Right? That person who God has delivered from alcohol use and everything like that, you know, you're fine now. You're fine, but, you know, you need to pray before you get into the presence of someone drinking and socializing and everything. You need to pray now that God strengthens you for the temptation to come. And so we need to understand that just because you might not be under attack today, this is a good time for you to prepare yourself and build up those walls that you need. Pray unto God, fast, stay in His Word, seek His face, so that you can be prepared today for the attacks to come. Because how many of you know, the attacks are coming. If any preacher tells you that you're not ever going to be under attack, you need to run from that preacher because he or she is not telling you the truth.
Amen.
The enemy will attack you, and it's because you have given your heart unto God, and he hates God, and he hates those who love God. And so he's going to attack. And so Asa started to build up. He started to build up the walls, and he was being prepared for an attack. And as it turns out, as we keep reading, it tells us that Asa, in verse number 8, that he had an army that of 300,000 men out of Judah and another 280,000 men out of Benjamin. It says that in verse number 8. These were mighty men of war. 300 out of Judah, 280 out of Benjamin. For those of us who can do a little bit of math, that's 580,000 men. Sounds like a lot. But there was a problem, because in verse 9 it says that the Ethiopians came against him with a host of 1,000,000. 1,000,000. Now if 1,000,000 means 1,000 times 1,000, that means it was 1,000,000. Amen?
Amen.
So now they come against him with 1,000,000. But not just that, and 300 chariots. So now that means that the Ethiopians came against them with 1,300,000 men. 1,300,000 against 580,000. They were outnumbered. And in verse number 11, Asa cries unto God, and he asks God for help. He says, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And he looked to God at this time when he was being attacked by the Ethiopians. He's outnumbered by the Ethiopians. They have chariots. The children of Israel don't. They just have spears and shields and you know, bucklers. And God delivered them. God gave them the victory. Outnumbered it all, God gave his people the victory. I want you to know today, you may be outnumbered too. Don't mean you can't win. You may be outnumbered. You may be out-resourced. Other people may have more education than you. They may have more connections than you. They may have every advantage over you in the natural, right, that may keep you from getting that job, getting that promotion, getting that piece of business, doing that certain thing that you want to do. But if God is on your side, if God be for you, who can be against you?
Yeah.
You can still go forward and get victory over people who seemingly have advantages over you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how grateful I am sometimes when little old me, sitting in my little old office in little old Bordentown, New Jersey, goes against law firms that are internationally known. They have thousands of lawyers. They have these lawyers that come from here, there, and everywhere, and we beat them in the case. Glory to God. Amen. Why? Because if God is for you, amen, there's nothing you can do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's not just a slogan, amen. That's truth from the mouth of God. And so here, Asa outnumbered more than double, you know, 1.3 million men against 580,000 men, and God gave them the victory. And so they took all the spoil. They took all the spoil, it says, and they came back, and they took in verse 15, they took cattle, they carried away sheep and camels and everything, and they came back to Jerusalem. Now, as they come back to Jerusalem, it says that Azariah meets them. And look what he says to them in verse number 2. He says to Asa, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you." Glory to God. How many of you know God is with you too? Amen. God is with you. "The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." And he continues, "Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations or trouble were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Glory to God. So that's what Azariah said unto Asa when he came back. He said, listen, he said, if you seek God, God will be with you. If you forsake God, God will forsake you too. And then he started to remind them of what happened in Israel. Because again, this is Judah, the southern kingdom. But Azariah was telling him what went on in the northern kingdom. He said, they stopped following God. And it got so bad that people couldn't even walk in the street. They couldn't come or they couldn't go. It was just trouble and danger everywhere. They couldn't even walk in the street. He said, they couldn't find any peace. He said, nation was destroying nation. Fighting was all over the place. Chaos was going on. He said, because they stopped following God. He said, but if you keep following God, God will be with you. And he then told them something that was encouraging. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I believe even that right there is something God is saying unto us today. Because sometimes, amen, you're doing things for God, and you're doing things for God, and you can get tired. You're living a certain way. You're looking to live right, and you can get tired. But hear what the prophet said to Asa, and understand he's saying unto you today. Continue to be strong. Continue to hold on. Continue to do what it is that you know in your heart the Lord wants you to do. Right? Continue to be strong. Don't let your hands be weak. Don't take your hands away from the work. Why? Because your work shall be rewarded. How many of you know God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek? You got to stay to it, amen. You have to stay to it. Keep doing those things for God. Keep living your life the way you're living your life. Keep, you know, separating yourself from the evils of this present world. Keep confessing the word. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep doing the right things, amen, according to the word of God. Because your work shall be rewarded. So Asa heard these words, it says in verse 8. He heard these words and he took courage and he did even more. He started now to increase in his reforms. He repaired the Lord's altar. He started taking offerings. It says in verse 10 that they brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep and they offered them unto the Lord. But not only that, in verse 12, he then brought the people together to enter into a covenant to seek God. You see what verse 12 says? That they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Their soul is their mind, their will, and their emotions. Glory to God. Amen. That's what your soul is. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what they said is, my heart, my mind, my will, and my emotions, I totally give to God. It's reminiscent of what Jesus said, right? When he was asked, what are the greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God, what? With all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Right? And that's what they did. They said, we're entering into a covenant with God now. They heard the word of Azariah. They said, what? If we stay with God, God's going to stay with us? Oh, we staying with God. And Asa said, okay, I'm going to do even more. He rebuilds the altar. He brings the people together. They enter into a covenant. And they say, we're going to give you every, Lord, we're fully committed to you. Our heart, our minds, our will, our emotions. Amen. And look how serious they were in verse 13. They said, and whoever doesn't seek God like this, with all their heart, all their soul, whoever doesn't do that should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. They said, if there's anybody in here who's not going to love God and with all their heart and all their soul, we're going to kill him. That's how serious they were. We're going to kill him. Why? Because they didn't want anything to infect their worship. Right? They didn't want anything. That's why, listen, when we know there are certain things in our life that can get in the way of our worship of God and our service of God, we should have the same, I'm killing it. Not people. I said things. Not people. Things. We want to, at all costs, get rid of it. Why? Because if we let it linger, if we let it hang around, it'll infect us. Amen? It will infect us. It will begin to pull us away. It will begin to take some of our time and compromise us a little bit or interfere with our worship and our life of you know, service unto God. Be serious about those things. Amen. They said anybody, man, woman, or child. Them baby kids don't get no, we getting rid of them. They were serious. We're going to live for the Lord. Whether man or woman, whether small or great, don't care what their stature is in the community, we'll get rid of them. Verse 14, and they swear to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. Amen. They had horns going. They're shouting. They're screaming. They're rejoicing, right? And it says that they're rejoicing because they have sworn with all their heart that they're going to seek him with their whole desire. And look what it says in verse 15. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Isn't that something? So you see what happens here. When Asa was doing what was good and right in the sight of the Lord, God gave him peace, gave him rest, no war. The people now turn their full heart unto God, and God again responds by giving them rest, giving them peace. And that is God, amen, because Isaiah said that he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. That's an amazing thing. If you keep in your mind stayed on God, what does it mean to keep your mind stayed on God? Does that mean you think about nothing else? Of course not. But it means that God is central in your life. Right? That he's the center of your life. That he's your source. He's your rock. He's your strength. He's your first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? He's the first thing you turn to in times of trouble. He's the first one you look to for help. He's preeminent. Even over your spouse, even over your children, over your job, over your education, over anything that you have, anything that you may obtain. God is first. There's only one person on the throne of your life, and that person is the true and living God. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that is the case, then you're stayed on Him. You wake up in the morning, you greet the Lord. You go through your day, you're mindful of whether or not you're doing what God would have you to do. He's just always with you. And God says, if that happens, I'll give you peace. Glory to God. I'll give you peace. I'll give you a rest. Amen. I make even your enemies be at peace with you, God promises His people. Amen. And so here, as they turn their heart fully over to God, their heart, their mind, their will, their emotions, God responds by saying, rest. Peace. Amen. So, if the people of God don't have rest and peace and enemies are vexing them on every side, we can do something about it. We turn our hearts, our soul, and our strength completely over to God and say, this is how I'm going to love you, even if it hurts. And let's see if God keeps His promise. And how many of you know God is faithful? And He will give you that rest, that peace, that joy that you couldn't get it any other way. And so that's what happened to the people. Now look at verse 16. It says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa. Now we have to correct that, because she really wasn't the mother of Asa. She was the mother of Asa's father, which means she was Asa's grandmother. She actually was the wife of Rehoboam. And so when Rehoboam was the first king of Israel, I mean of Judah, she was queen. And then her son, Abijah, became king, and she still became stayed queen. Think about this woman now. She now still stayed queen. And now her grandson becomes king, and she still is queen. I don't know if Asa by Asa's wise, but man, that's a pretty tough mother-in-law to have right there. Amen. Asa, shouldn't I be the queen? Mom don't want to leave. Mom don't. Grandma don't want to give it up. Maybe this is where mother-in-law jokes came from. Always didn't want to be a part of their lives, amen. But she was his grandmother, but she was still queen. But watch what he did. It said Asa removed her from being queen. Why? Because she made an idol in the grove. See, now his heart was so right toward God. And he said, listen, we're going to give ourselves totally over to God. That now he looked at his grandma and said, what? You building an idol up in here? You got to go. He finally got rid of her. That's how committed he was now. And you know that had to be a hard thing for him to do, because she was queen under his grandfather, she was queen under his father, and she was queen during his reign, and he finally got up the courage. And know what God gave him that courage? He looked at what she was doing and saying, that's not right. I'm so committed to God, and what you're trying to do is not consistent with how we're supposed to live. Yeah. You got to go. Yeah. Now, how many of you know that when you decide to live for God, there may be some people in your family that you might have to separate from? Yeah. Yeah. She was his grandmother. And he said, I know you're my grandma, and I love you. Now, maybe no, you can still love and separate.
Yeah.
I love you, but how you're living is not how I'm living. And I can't have that under my roof. I can't have that in this kingdom. You got to go. He finally got rid of his grandma. You aren't queen anymore. So, got rid of her. And it says in verse 17, he didn't take away all of the high places, but he did make a lot of change in the land. And it says that his heart was perfect all his days. And then we get to verse 19. So we see what happens now. We see how he's living. He was living for God first 10 years, all this peace. He's doing good in the sight of the Lord. He's got 10 years of peace. Then in the year 10, he gets attacked by the Ethiopians. Now, somebody say, why did he get attacked by the Ethiopians if he's living such a life of, you know, good and right in the sight of God? How many of you know God will test you? Amen? God's going to test us from time to time. Yeah, you're flowing in the things of God. You're flowing in the blessings of God. And things are going right in your life and everything else. That's why you have to stay prayed up. Because a test, a trial is going to come. It's going to come. And Asa's test came with the Ethiopians. But how did Asa respond? The minute the Ethiopians came, what did he do? He turned to his God. Lord, I need you to help me. And what did God do? God helped him, even though he was severely outnumbered. And then God turned around and gave him a word and said, you keep walking with me, boy, and I'll bless you even more. And God blessed him. And peace remained in his kingdom for the next 25 years. So the first 10, peace. Then the Ethiopians came, war. He looked to God. God delivers him. They say, hey, keep following God, the prophet said. He said, I'm still going to follow God. He made all these reforms, even more in the land. Got rid of his mother, grandmother from being queen. And God blessed him with 25 more years of peace. And then came the tipping. And in verse 16, we see the tipping point. Chapter 16, I should say. Because it says, in the 6th and 30th year, or the 36th year of his reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. So now the northern kingdom attacks. And what they do is, they started to fortify or build around Ramah, so that no one can get in and out of Jerusalem. And look what Asa does. Verse 2. He gets the silver and gold out of the treasury of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house. And he goes to the king of Syria. And he asks the king of Syria for help. Verse 3, he said, let there be a treaty between us. He said, I've given you some silver and gold. Break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, that he can stop attacking us. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, took the money and said, okay. And he brought his armies and he attacked Israel. And when King Baasha realized that they were being attacked by the king of Syria, King Baasha stopped attacking Ramah. And he left all the materials there that he was trying to seal up the town. And it said Asa took all that stuff, the stones, the wood, the timber, and he then took it to start building up some other towns in Judah. So Asa got in trouble with the king of Israel attacking him. And the first thing he did was go to the king of Syria for help. And so God sends to him a prophet by the name of Hanani in verse 7. And he comes to Asa and he says to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians a huge host with very many chariots and a horseman? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein, by you now going to seek the king of Syria, you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. And it says, Asa was wroth. He was mad. He was upset. He was too through with Hanani. And he put him in prison. What he said. For he was in a rage with him, and because of this thing. And not only that, Asa oppressed some of his own people. What in the world happened? What in the world happened? How did Asa go from starting off his reign doing that which was good and right in the sight of the Lord, having 10 years of peace and rest on all sides? Then he, getting the wisdom of God to prepare himself to build up his strength and everything else and to build walls and things like that to protect the city. And then he gets attacked by the Ethiopians, severely outnumbered, and his heart is so pure and perfect toward God, he goes to God for help. And God helps him. And then God sends a prophet his way and says, if you continue living this way, God will continue to bless you. And there's 25 more years of prosperity. 25 more years of peace. So what happened? What happened that now that Israel's attacking him, that instead of turning to the same God who delivered him from the Ethiopians, he now turns to the king of Syria? What happened? The Bible doesn't tell us what happened with him. It doesn't tell us. I mean, maybe his grandmother was giving him grief over all these years and he just got so worn out. I don't know. Maybe his wife cheated on him. I don't know. Maybe he lost some friendships and people betrayed him. Maybe some of the nations around him started lying to him and breaking treaties and stuff. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe, just maybe, life happened to him. How many of you have had life happen to you? I mean, there's just times, right? You live, you go from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and life happens. Some good and some bad. Some ups and some downs. Some celebrations and some things that cause you sorrow. You gain some things, you lose some things. People come into your life, people go out of your life. Babies are born and loved ones die. It's called life. And life happens to all of us. And I don't know what happened to Asa, but I know that life happened. And at some point along the way, when things weren't going his way, something got into his heart, which now when he got to the tipping point, when he now is in need of help, his first thought was to go to man and not God. He wasn't always that way. Before, he went to God first. Now, he went to man. And I want you to know something, that God doesn't mind that you and I will go to people in our lives for help from time to time. Because after all, he put them in our lives. Amen? And part of the reason he put them in our lives is that they can be a source of support and encouragement and strength. But the one thing God will not stand for is that you will rely on people more than you will rely on him. He's not going to stand for it. He's not going to stand for you as his child saying that you put your trust more in man than in God. He's a jealous God. Scriptures say that, not the preacher. He's a jealous God. And so he wants to know, am I first in your life? We said it before. Seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. And so something happened to Asa where he went from a man who sought God first to now he's a man who seeks the help of mere men first. And God sent him a prophet and said, you've done foolishly. You've done foolishly. He said, don't you remember when he saved you from the Ethiopians? And don't you know God is saying that to us today? If we ever get to a point, amen, where we kind of put God second or third even, if he's anywhere but first, he's in the wrong place, amen? And we put our trust in ourselves and our education and our connections or in our hookups and other people and all these things, then we put it in the wrong place. And see, God will send someone to remind you a time, didn't you used to seek God first? And wasn't he faithful back then? Wasn't he faithful back then? Understand life happened to you in the interim, but you shouldn't allow life to now veer you away from God. Why? Because in verse number 9, he says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he's looking for a certain caliber of people. And you know who he's looking for? People whose heart is perfect toward him. Notice he doesn't say he's looking for perfect people. How many of you are glad about that? Because we would be disqualified on the spot. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people whose heart is perfect toward him. Ooh, that's still a problem. Because I don't have a perfect heart. But that word perfect doesn't mean perfect as in you don't do or think anything wrong. How many of you are glad about it? That word perfect means a heart that is loyal to him. A heart that is committed to him. A heart that is at peace with him. You're loyal to God. You may not do everything right, but you're loyal to God. Amen? Yeah, you're human, so you're going to do some things, and you're going to make some mistakes and all that, but you're loyal to God. You're committed to God. Amen? Yeah, you may stray a little bit here and there, but when you get caught up in it, and somebody tells you, or this Holy Spirit convicts you, you're going to say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Why? Because I'm committed to you. I may have made a mistake, but I'm committed to you. I'm at peace with you. I'm not fighting with you, Lord. I'm not debating with you, Lord. I'm not questioning you. I'm at peace with you. He's looking for people like that. He's not looking for perfect people. I may be glad about it, amen? He's not looking for perfect people. I make mistakes. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for all the mistakes you make. How many of you know that grace is not just sufficient for the thorn in the flesh? We read the scripture, and there was a thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient. So when I got something going on in me, no, it's sufficient for everything in your life. Your failures, your mistakes, your missteps, your mishaps. God said, I got grace for that. So you don't have to be perfect. Your heart doesn't even have to be perfect. It just has to be committed to him. Remember what he said about David. He said, David was a man after his own heart. And usually you talk about somebody who is after somebody. That boy takes after his father. What's that mean? He acts just like his father. That girl takes after her mother. She looks like her mother. She walks like her mother. She acts like her mother. That's what happens when you say somebody takes after. So if David's a man after God's own heart, you would think that David's heart was just like God's heart. But David committed adultery. And Jesus said, out of the heart come adulteries and fornications and blasphemies. So David committed adultery with Bathsheba. That came out of his heart. But his heart takes after God's heart? God doesn't have any adultery in his heart. Right? So it doesn't even mean that your heart needs to be perfect. David was still yet a man after God's own heart, even though he had some stuff in his heart that wasn't right. And how many of you know your heart can be perfect toward God, even though there's some things in your heart that ain't right? But when you get called on those things that aren't right, you're like David when Nathan said unto him, thou art the man. What did David do? He repented. So when someone tells you, thou art the man, thou art the woman, when they tell you that you're doing some things that maybe aren't right, and you're saying some stuff that's not right, do you fight them? Are you like Asa? Because look what happened to Asa. When Hanani comes to him and says, what you're doing is not right. What did he do to Hanani? I'm going to throw you in jail. Why? God don't want to hear that. Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about what God is looking for. Don't tell me that God will work on behalf of you. You know that that you are on the wrong path when God sends somebody your way to point you to him and you don't want to hear it. Think about that. You're a child of God. And God in his mercy and grace, because you're going astray, sends somebody to pull your coat and say, you should be, remember God helped you with the Ethiopians? I don't want to hear that. Ooh, you don't want to hear that? You don't want to hear about how God was faithful in your life before? You don't want to hear that? Life happened to Asa, and it corrupted his heart. Somewhere along the line, he lost that trust that he had in God back there. Somewhere along the line, he didn't want to hear about God. Before, when that prophet came to him and said, hey, keep serving God, he responded by doubling down on his commitment to God. Now, God sends him another prophet to say, hey, God's looking for people whose heart is perfect. I don't want to hear that. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. What in the world happened to this? He reached a tipping point. He reached a tipping point. Somewhere along the way, life's little small events, and the Bible doesn't give us specifics, but life happened to him. And somewhere along the way, something was chipping away at his faith in God. Something was chipping away at his devotion to God. Something was chipping away at his commitment to God. Little small things here, little small things there. Maybe he started getting up late for service. Maybe he started reading a little bit less. Maybe he didn't sing the songs of Zion with the same force that he used to. Maybe he started getting a little selfish. Maybe he started to get a little bitter. Maybe he started holding on to a little unforgiveness here and there, but little by little, stuff starts to chip at him, and he finally reached a place called the tipping point. The king of Israel came in, and he now had to make a decision. And he decided, I'm not seeking God. I'm going to go seek my friend, King Assyria. And the king of Syria helped him. But how many of you know that decision hurt him? So God said to my prophet, I don't want to hear that. Go to jail. And not only did he send him to jail, it says also that he began to oppress some of the people at the same time. Man, his heart was in the wrong place. And so we finish up with Asa in verse number 11. It says, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. He got some kind of disease in his feet, some kind of ailment in his feet. And it said that it grew worse. It said he got a disease in his feet in the 39th year until his disease was exceeding great. So he got the disease, and the disease got worse. And look what it says in verse 12. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. No longer did he look to God first for help. Listen, no problem going to the doctor, but you still should be looking to God as your healer. No problem going to the bank, but you still should be looking to God as your provider. No problem going to your friend, but you still should be looking to God as the friend who sticks closer than a brother. No problem going to people in your life, but you should go to God first. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we shall remember the name of the Lord our God. What you going to put your trust in when push comes to shove? When life happens, when you go through all these kind of things and you get to the point of that you're at a tipping point where you have to decide on whose side am I on? Amen. And we see what happened with Asa. So not only did he do this when he was attacked, when his nation was attacked, by Israel, not only did he look to man, but even when he got attacked in his body, he said, I'm still going to look only to man. And Asa died 2 years after that. It says in verse 13, he slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year, in the 41st year of his reign. So listen, this is a good story for us to bear in mind. That not only do you want to start strong with God, but you want to end strong with God. How many of you know that? Amen. You don't just want to start strong, you want to end strong. Asa started strong, and he got stronger. And when he did, God was in his life in great ways. 10 years of peace, an attack, 25 years of peace, and another attack. And I believe if Asa would have turned to his God one more time, peace again and victory. But he allowed life to chip away at his devotion to God. Now he didn't look to him anymore. But let us take the lesson that he didn't want to take from Hanani. Hanani says, the eyes of the Lord are going throughout the whole earth, and he's looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him, because he wants to show himself strong. That means show himself strong. That means he wants to put his strength in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to do great things. He wants to give you support. He wants to help you. He wants to champion you. He wants you to come out on top. He's looking for, and all he says is, I just need people who are loyal to me. Not perfect people who don't make mistakes. Just those who didn't allow life to take them away from me. Is that you? Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's a question you got to be careful before you answer. Hey, that's me. Okay. King of Israel's on his way. Ethiopians are on their way. Amen. Life is on its way, and we're going to get to that tipping point. But listen, hear the encouragement from God and make the right choice. Right? Keep God on the throne of your life. Keep him first place. Don't allow the things called life, the ups, the downs, the heartaches and the pains, the this and the that. Don't allow that to take you away from him. He's still God. He's still good, right? The Lord is good. His mercy is what? Everlasting. His truth endures what? To all generations. I'm the Lord God. I change none. And if he was faithful then, he's faithful today. If he was good back then, he's good today. If he was a deliverer back then, he's a deliverer today. Are there some things that have rocked our world? Yeah, everybody has them, don't you? Don't we? We were talking yesterday about people who are successful. I said, listen, don't just look at people who arrived at a place called success. Ask them about their journey. A lot of people want to look at T.D. Jakes. Oh, look at T.D. Jakes. No. He'll tell you. Wait a minute. When I was up there in West Virginia getting paid a pound cake, I ain't see nobody wanting to be me then. I didn't see nobody wanting my ministry then. When I went to a place and I had enough gas to get there, and I was just, I was dependent on an offering so I could get gas to go back. And three little ladies showed up to the service, and they paid me a pound cake. I ain't see nobody saying, I wish I was T.D. Jakes then. You got to know people's journey. And everybody's journey has hardship and pain. How many of you know that? Abuse, divorce, separation, death, disease, betrayals, disappointments, everybody. But God says that's called life. But when life comes, you continue to look to me, so that when you get to that tipping point, you'll make the right decision. Amen? So here's the encouragement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Not only today, don't be satisfied that you did it back then, but continue to do it. Amen? Song says what? For God I live, for God I died, somebody ought to testify. and then we continue living for God, our testimony would be, I got to my tipping point, and I made the right decision. I'm going all the way with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And He will show Himself strong in your life. Amen. That's a word for now for somebody. That's a word for the future for somebody else. I'm just glad about it. Amen. Maybe it's both for all of us.
Amen.
Right? Let me praise God for it. Let's rest on our feet. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I make my commitment to you. Glory to God. Father, we bless you. We thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, for the word that is spoken in our hearts. We pray simply, God, that that word will continue to marinate in us and manifest itself in us. We pray, God, for even deeper truth and revelation to come from the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
we pray, O God, that you'll continue to speak unto us, O God, and minister the truth of this word unto us. You said the truth will make us free. And so, Father, we bless you right now for freedom. We bless you right now for liberty. We bless you right now for breaking every chain, destroying every yoke, and removing every burden from our life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful, O God, for the story of Asa. We're thankful, O God, that he started out well, but God, he didn't end so well. Father, we're praying right now by faith and with all humility of spirit that, Father God, that we will finish strong, if not stronger, than as we started. Father God, we double down on our commitment to you. And Father, we believe that as we do that, you'll give us peace. You'll give us rest. You'll give us victory on every side. And so, Father, we thank you and we bless you for it. That as we arrive to our tipping point with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the power of your word operating on the inside of us, with your grace surrounding us, we believe by faith that we shall make the right choice and choose to continue to follow you all the days of our life. Glory to God. And so, Father, we bless you and we thank you right now, God, for it all. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.